Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Don't record me if you took my phone.
It's in your backpack. Wait, I thought it was in my book bag.
It's right here. It's literally right there.
Stop closing your eyes.
I have to focus my ears.
Yo, man, come on, dude. I hear it. I feel like it's back there, though.
No.
How'd it go from being right here?
Zero.
Come on, man. Yo, what is you doing?
So close.
I promise you, if your phone is in this jacket, but your phone is in your pocket, all that drama. That's crazy.
Reverse flush and ain't that a smooth one.
This how it goes. And I hope I have no friends.
And his response was, I'm sorry, I just wanted a Frosty.
I want Tyler to know his ass should have got thrown out. If I was a ref, I would have tossed his ass. How dare you?
Morning, welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Thursday morning. We have all of your action covered from a packed Wednesday night in the NBA. I'm Zach Harper. That's Mo Dakhil. We got Rob Lopez figuring out ways to get Bradley Beal some wins around here. Coming up on today's show, Leon Rose is taking over the Knicks this weekend. The Utah Jazz are making a change, and the Grizzlies are hanging on for their playoff lives. At least they're trying to. But first, the Jazz have stopped winning home games altogether, Mo. They're done with it. Celtics 114, Jazz 103 in Salt Lake City. The Celtics, on the second night of a back-to-back after the game in Portland on Tuesday night, come in without Kemba Walker, and they just dominate this team in the fourth quarter. They dominate them for a lot of this game. Jason Tatum went off. 25 points in the first half, 18 in the second quarter. He finished with 33 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. He's 13-20 from the field. A 15-5 run to start out the fourth quarter helps the Celtics pull away in this one. And then there was a little bit of back and forth with the Jazz, but for the most part, they were just maintaining the rest of the way because all five Celtics starters were in double figures. Jaylen Brown had 20. Marcus Smart had 17 points, 9 assists. Mo, the Celtics are in a great way right now, and the Jazz are very much not. The Jazz, they made two changes today to their lineup. First, they took out Mike Conley, and they put in Royce O'Neal. Then they took out Joe Ingles and put Mike Conley back in because I don't think they liked that the news leaked out. Right. It seemed like someone was saving face, and Joe Ingles maybe took the hit for this one. We'll get more on that as we get in-depth in the news section of this episode. But the Jazz, only 15 first-quarter points. Donovan Mitchell had a monster game, but no one else seemed to contribute. Mo, what happened to the Jazz?
That's really the million-dollar question for everybody, but I just think They fell apart right after the All-Star game and All-Star break, and then they felt like we need to change something, and you kind of broke it down perfectly. They went with one change and decided to spin it around again, and like that's just a weird situation if you're Joe Ingles.
Yeah, right?
You know, and he hasn't been – it's not like he did a good job coming off the bench.
He was terrible.
Early in the season. Like,
right.
When they went on their hot run, it was because – you know, he was starting too, you know, and he was playing really well. So they're not going to get the best out of Joe in that regard. And, you know, I mean, they're really just struggling to try to figure out how to make this work with Connolly. And they're hitting a real desperate hour right now. If you can't figure out your lineups at this point, when you've been for the most part pretty stable and pretty healthy, you got problems this late in the season.
Absolutely. So this one with these two teams, I mean, the Celtics are on fire right now. Celtics have been incredible. Jason Tatum is playing out of his mind. And for the Jazz, they've been horrendous lately. So the Celtics have won 13 of the last 16 games. They've finished 3-1 in their post-All-Star game trip, their road trip, whereas the Jazz have lost all four games since the All-Star break. All four are at home. They lost to – who did they lose to? They lost to San Antonio. They lost to Houston, they lost to Phoenix, and now Boston. So two good teams, two bad teams. But Mo, they've lost 9 of their last 13. Like this Jazz team, it's not just a post-All-Star break thing. Like this team's kind of in trouble.
No, I mean, they're definitely in trouble. I mean, you have OKC a half game behind them. You have Dallas a full game behind them. Like, you know, they can drop all the way to 7. Like that's really something that's surprising considering this was a dark horse candidate to start the season. Everybody was all pumped up
right.
with Connolly. But before we harp on the Jazz, we got to give the Celtics a little more love. I mean, they've been phenomenal in this whole stretch. I mean, their one loss was a super close game against the Lakers on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, they've been incredible. And even before that, big win against the Clippers going into All-Star break. And I mean, Tatum's just kind of blowing up right before our eyes, Zach. I mean, he's just growing up, dude. I feel like Vince Vaughn's character in Swingers just yelling it out, man. Baby grows up and grows up and grows up.
I have it under control, okay? He has it under control.
Oh, I guess we don't have to worry about him anymore.
Our little baby's all grows up. You know what?
Shut up. Come on.
No, no. Our little baby's all grows up.
You have to. Gee. Why do you have to?
He's like a big bear, man. He's got these claws. He doesn't know what to do with these claws, except now he does. He's not just batting the bunny around. He's destroying the bunny. Like, he's on fire right now. Daniel Tice had 16 points. Gordon Hayward had 12 points on 12 shots. Not a great return to Utah for, I don't know, the fifth time or whatever he's been back. Not the fifth time. That doesn't make mathematical sense. But he's been back a couple of times, and he's been okay. They got no bench production this one, but they were good enough. 53% from the field, 42% from deep. Only turned the ball over 8 times. Like, Mo, the Celtics are a machine right now.
They're rolling. And, you know, it's the East is pretty much wide open after Milwaukee, and they're hitting their stride kind of at the right time. And they're doing this all without Kemba. And it'll be interesting when Kemba comes back, how that works. But look, Tatum's just looking like the type of guy, like, this is who you're going to close games down the stretch.
Absolutely. As for the Jazz, Bojan Bogdanović, 3 points on 1 of 8 shooting, 0 of 4 from deep. Royce O'Neal, new starter, 14 points on 4 of 7 shooting. That's good, Mo. Joe Ingles, new sixth man, 2 points on 1 of 3 shooting, minus 17 in 26 minutes. That's not so good.
Not so
That's
much.
That's real bad. Yeah. Mike Conley had 15 points on 5 of 13 from the field. He was 5 of 9 from deep. So you know my rule. Just don't shoot twos.
Well, I mean, that's just your rule in life.
Exactly. That's the rule in life. That's the way to go. Rudy Gobert, very disappointing again. He's been terrible defensively and during the stretch since the All-Star break. He had 9 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 4 turnovers, minus 13 on the night. And Mo, this team, 12 of 40 from three-point range, just 30%, 12 of 40. They didn't turn the ball over a whole lot, which is new for them because they're usually pretty bad with that. Just 9 turnovers in this one, but they couldn't hit outside shots. And, you know, as good as Donovan Mitchell was, 37 points on 15 to 32 shooting, he was just 2 of 10 from deep. Mo, this team's got to hit shots.
Plain and simple. I mean, they've been a top 3-point shooting team for the year. And then, you know, when they're not making shots, it's not much else coming from them. They don't have a lot of ways of getting points anywhere else. Not like Gobert's a post-up option or anything like that. So, you know, they got to knock down those shots. When they don't, they're in big, big trouble.
Before we move on, I want to take a moment to tell you about the great things going on at The Athletic. Right here at The Athletic, home to 400 of the best sports writers out there covering every major team in every major league in the U.S., in Canada, the U.K., me, fallen team guys. I love Ethan Strauss, John Krasinski following the Wolves, Britt Robson, of course, Tony Jones and the Jazz. We have so many great writers up and down the league. Obviously, you get great stuff from David Aldridge, from Sam Amick. There's just too many great NBA writers to name all of them, but we have the best NBA coverage. And if you love the NBA, which if you listen to this podcast, I know you do, you got to subscribe to The Athletic. Simply put, we've got the best sports newsroom on the planet. But you don't have to take my word for it. See for yourself. You can sign up for a free trial. Head to theathletic.com/dailyding. You're going to save 40% on an annual subscription that works out to like $3 a month for total access to some of the best sports coverage in the world. What are you waiting for? That's theathletic.com/dailyding. This podcast, this name, that's your promo code. Theathletic.com/dailyding will save you 40%. Subscribe to The Athletic. Make your coverage a lot better. Other game of the night. This can't be right. Wolves 129, Heat 126 in Miami. What the? No Karl Anthony Towns. They win their first road game in, Mo, 52 days.
That's awesome.
52 days. They wanted a 17-3 run in the last 3:35 of this game to win. Before this game, they had lost 28 games in a row, went down double digits. Last double-digit comeback was in November. They were down 1. Jordan McLaughlin came around on a pick and roll. He took it to Bam Adebayo, and he scored on the layup that ended up being the game winner. Jake Layman would hit a couple of free throws. They blocked Jimmy Butler with 8 seconds left. Not only did they block him, D'Angelo Russell. Mo, is it possible for D'Angelo Russell to have a revenge moment against a guy he never played against on the, you know, when he was on the Timberwolves, never played with when he was on the Timberwolves?
It's one of those things. It's like Game of Thrones, right? Like, he's their champion. Like, Karl Anthony Towns picked him to take on his enemy. That's what it was right there. And
he knew.
And let's be honest here about the block. You could have credited that to 3 different guys on the Wolves.
Oh, no, you have to give it to D'Angelo Russell. You have to. Oh, it's the only way to bring that real poetry into the whole moment. Lehman hit the two free throws to put them up three. Juancho Hernan Gomez stole the inbound fast. This steals the win. The fourth home loss of the season for the Heat. Previous had come to the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Celtics. So it's their first home loss to a bad team. They've lost seven of their last 10 games. So we were talking about Utah, Mo, and you know how bad they've been of late. Miami's kind of fallen apart too. Like, they were bad before the break. They've been bad since the break. They lost that game to Cleveland on a big comeback. Like, what's going on with the Heat?
I think some of it's them coming back down to earth a little bit. You know, we've talked about it before. Early on, the young kids were just outstanding and playing above their level. And you know, the season's kind of wearing on these guys a little bit. It's a little longer. It's some of these guys that aren't used to playing this many minutes and so on. I think it's beginning to get to them a little bit and wear them down. So I think they're just coming down to earth. I think this is actually more what we were expected from the Heat team than what we saw earlier in the year. I think this is just kind of what's coming around for them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think maybe, like, if we said at this point, you know, in preseason, hey, the Heat are going to be like the 5 seed in the East, we'd be like, oh, that's good. But after the, you know, the last couple of months, you know, they had raised the expectations and now they've kind of fallen back down to earth and it seems disappointing, but maybe this is the perspective we should have had all along. For the Timberwolves, D'Angelo Russell, 27 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He was 9 of 18 from the field, 7 of 14 from deep. Malik Beasley, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He was 7 of 14 from the field. Juancho Hernan Gomez had 17 points. Let's see, James Johnson had 11 points in a revenge game off the bench. Caleb Martin had 11. Jordan McLaughlin had the game winner. He was 13 from the field and was plus 20 in this game. A great bench effort from the Wolves. And then, you know, for the Heat at home, you know, Kendrick Nunn had 24 points. He was good in this game. Jimmy Butler didn't shoot well. He's just 4 of 10, but he did get to the free throw line a bunch. He had 9 assists. He finished with 18 points. Bam Adebayo, another monster game. 22 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. But they just couldn't get enough here. I mean, Mo, the turnovers, right? 21 turnovers, 23 turnovers in this game allowed for like 30-plus points from the Wolves. Like, you just can't be that sloppy, especially against this Wolves team.
No, you can't give that up. And look, you're up 11 with 3 minutes left against the Wolves.
Like, yeah, that's got to be cash.
I should be able to turn off the game, you know. And what's actually kind of funny about it is, like, I was watching the Wolves were coming out of a timeout at that point, and like Russell huddled these guys together, and I just started laughing. I'm like, psh, this guy's not going to bring them back. Oh, like, you know, whatever. And
Mo, you know what that sounds like? You know what that smells like?
What's that?
Culture change.
Ho, 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 ho.
Don't sleep on him.
You know, spent a couple of minutes in Brooklyn and in Golden State. Now he's bringing some new culture with him to Minnesota.
Now he knows, Mo. For the Heat, they've played 7 of the last 10 on the road. They are 2-1 at home during that stretch, with just 1-6 on the road. They're 2-5 with Iguodala since that trade. Goran Dragic had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists off the bench. Derek Jones Jr. with 14 off the bench. All right, I think we've got about another week and a half-ish until Carl Anthony Towns is back. Is there any chance that they can actually build on this?
No. We've seen this too many times from the Wolves, right? Like, remember a few years back when they beat the Warriors and everybody got super excited? Yeah, and everybody went nuts, and the next year's going to be their year. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, I'm sorry. We've seen that story too many times. They can build on it in the sense of it'd be nice that they have a win, but I got to see what they do next season. They still got a lot of work to do as a whole to kind of figure this whole thing out. Cat's got to figure out who he is and really do some soul searching and be able to play, I don't know, an entire season like he actually cares about basketball. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with them.
And the Wolves, 16 steals in this one. They had 6 different players with multiple steals in this game, which is not bad for a team that doesn't play defense.
Really easy when the Heat players pass it right to you.
All right, Mo, let's get to the news. News coming out of Los Angeles. The Lakers announced that LeBron James has a sore groin and he will be out Thursday night against the Warriors. Anthony Davis has an elbow injury that he is probable. LeBron sitting against the Warriors? This can't be right. It's almost like they've got a G League team at this point.
Well, it's almost G League team versus G League team at this point.
That's true.
We know what the Lakers look like when LeBron sits, so could be pretty interesting tomorrow.
Look like last year's Pelicans. We'll see if they show up in the Mardi Gras uniforms for this week. Utah Jazz. All right, this is where the weirdness gets. We mentioned a little bit earlier. The Utah Jazz have removed Joe Ingles from the starting lineup. We know that. Now, at first, they had removed Mike Conley, according to Tony Jones and Shams Charania of The Athletic. They had moved Mike Conley out of the lineup. They were moving Royce O'Neal in. They were going with a super versatile lineup and everything, right? Less traditional. And then, all of a sudden, reverse course, about a half hour after the news broke, decided to leak that, no, we're not taking Mike Conley out. We're taking Joe Ingles out. And so, there are two schools of thought here, Mo. One, Joe Ingles just decided to be a good soldier here, right? Joe Ingles decided, you know what? I'll come off the bench. That was the plan from the get-go. I'll get it together. I'll find a way to contribute in that role. The other possibility, what if there had been leaks by the Jazz to find out, like, who was leaking information, right? And so let's say that, like, there's like, hey, Joe, we're going to tell, like, we're letting you know that we're taking Mike out of the lineup and we're going to put Royce O'Neal in. And they told Rudy Gobert, hey, we're taking Donovan out, right? And we're going to put in Royce O'Neal. And they told Royce, hey, we're taking Rudy out. Thought you should know, we're going super small, right? Like, they just figured out, and then whichever one, that guy got the hit. That's a pretty good, it's not a bad theory. It's probably a little too complicated and not worthy of the Jazz's time, but you never know.
I mean, that's a real spy thriller there, Zach.
I stole that from Tom Haverstraw.
I'm Tom Haverstraw, and that's the big number.
There you go. Well, yeah. Tom's really into spy novels, I guess. At what point do we worry? How much were the players leaking?
Because I believe Tony and Shams' reporting. Like, I just, why do you think things got changed? Because Mike Conley's also doesn't seem like the guy. Like, he won like the citizenship award, right? Like, he doesn't seem like the guy that would throw a big stink about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the whole thing was just so weird, Zach. Like, when I was just kind of like, oh, okay, they're gonna bring Conley off the bench, I'm like, actually that's a good move. And then it's like an hour later, I'm like, oh no, wait, what? Oh, this is getting weird. I don't understand it. I think this is why Tom's able to have a theory like that, just because it's so weird and so just out of left field with it. Like, I don't have any touch, Zach, as to why this is the reason. Because it's like, you go to shoot around, you work through it, you probably talk to Connolly about it, you probably talk to O'Neal about it, and everybody's on the same page. And then, I don't know if Quinn just had a change of heart at the last second or whatnot. It's just, none of it makes sense.
Malik Monk has been suspended indefinitely by the NBA. Statement from the NBA. The NBA announced today that Malik Monk of the Charlotte Hornets has been suspended without pay for violating the terms of the NBA/NBPA anti-drug program. His suspension began Wednesday night against the Knicks. Will continue until he is determined to be in full compliance with the anti-drug program. Statement from the Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets are disappointed in Malik's decision-making that resulted in his suspension. As an organization, we do not condone his behavior. However, we are committed to supporting Malik during this time. Other news, other penalties. Joel Embiid fined $25,000 for an obscene gesture and foul language. This is the statement from the NBA. The Sixers center Joel Embiid has been fined $25,000 for making an obscene gesture on the playing court and using profane language during a live television interview. It was announced today by Kiki Vandeweghe, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. The amount of Embiid's fine also reflects his multiple prior violations of acceptable on-court decorum. The gesture occurred with 17 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter, and his comments came during an on-court interview at the conclusion of their 129-112 victory over the Hawks back on February 24th in Philadelphia. And then last bit of news, Leon Rose will officially become the New York Knicks team president starting March 1st. That's according to the New York Times and Mark Stein. Mo, the Knicks will be fixed now, right?
Yeah, no, it's everything's solved now. Starting March 1st, everything brand new.
All right, let's get to the rest of the games from Wednesday night. Hornets 107, Knicks 101 in Charlotte. The Hornets hold on to beat the Knicks in a tight one. Not sure how much of an accomplishment that is. I agree. It's just not a big win, but it's still a win. Terry Rozier, 26 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds. All five Hornets starters were in double figures. Devontae Graham had 21 points and 5 assists. The Knicks went 4 of 15 from 3. Mo, one, all they did was make 4 threes, and also all they did was shoot 15 threes. It's a really weird game for them. 18 points, 9 rebounds for Julius Randle, 17 for Bobby Portis off the bench. Lonzo Trier had 15 points in 16 minutes off the bench. RJ Barrett ugly one. 2 of 11 shooting, 5 points on the night. Mitchell Robinson did have 12 points, 16 rebounds, and 3 blocks off the bench, but that's 5 straight losses for the Knicks. Cavs 108, Sixers 94 in Cleveland. Do not adjust your sets. That is a correct score. No Andre Drummond, no Ben Simmons, and after 8 minutes of play, no Joel Embiid. He left the game with a shoulder strain in the second quarter. He's going to have an MRI on Thursday. He played 8 minutes. He scored 3 points. The Sixers might be boned here. Well, like this is, they already know Ben Simmons for a while. If Joel Embiid's injury is serious at all, Tobias Harris better get his act together.
No, I mean, this is brutal. The Ben Simmons stuff is scary. Like, you know, it doesn't even sound like in a few, we're going to get him back in a few weeks. Like it's, you know, they're going to reevaluate him in a few weeks. Doesn't mean anything really beyond that. Like maybe he'll be able to play, but they doubt it. Now with the Embiid stuff and just the way this whole season has gone, I mean, this has been the season of hell for the Sixers.
Yeah, it's been really bad. And you lose to the Cavs. I don't care if Embiid and Simmons are out, but it's not good.
Hey, the Cavs beat the Heat too, man. Give them credit, man. They're feeling the love without
we have the dead cat bounce. That's what it is. Without John Beilein, we have the dead cat bounce. That's what this is. Sixers shot 40% from the field, 34% from deep. They gave up 53% to the Cavs shooting, 46% from three. Shake Milton had 20 points. That's fun. Freaking Korkmaz had 14. But Mo, where's Al Horford? Where's Tobias Harris? Where's Josh Richardson? Tobias Harris, 11 points on 4 of 13 shooting. Al Horford, 10 points on 10 shots. Josh Richardson, 9 points on 12 shots. What happened? Where are these guys?
I have no idea, but this is like Al Horford has kind of subtly been complaining about not, you know, figuring his role out in the offense or whatever. He's the only big guy left. You know, like now it's time to hoop and time to play. All these guys, too, with big contracts. It's scary right now for the Sixers, man.
Yeah. For the Cavs, though, good news. 28 points from Colin Sexton on 9-16 shooting. Tristan Thompson had a double-double with 14 and 13. Kevin Love had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Larry Nance off the bench had 13 and 15. The JB Bickerstaff, man, coaching these guys up. Cavs have won 4 of their last 5 games. Wizards 110, Nets 106 in Washington, D.C. Bradley Beal goes off again, not for 50-plus this time. Said the Nets had thrown a box and wanted him. He joked that he maybe needs to get drug tested. It's because 17 of his 30 points came in the fourth quarter. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals on the game to round that out. Rui Hachimura had 17 on 6 of 10 shooting. He had 4 rebounds. Brooklyn took over with a huge third quarter, but Beal willed them to victory, willed the Wizards to victory in this one. Bertans had 14 off the bench. For Brooklyn, Caris LeVert was crazy in this game. 34 points on 10 of 20 shooting, 9 of 11 from the field or from the free throw line, but 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 steals to go with it. Spencer Dinwiddie had 18 points. DeAndre Jordan had 16 and 16 off the bench, but the Nets were just so sloppy. Ball movement was so bad. 18 turnovers to 15 assists. That's not ideal. What else is not ideal, Mo? Shabazz Napier needing 9 points on 15 shots. That's not good, right? Wizards snapped a 3-game losing streak, but they're still 4.5 out of the 8th seed.
Before you want, you got to give a little love to Jerome Robinson for the game winner, man.
I mean, yeah. Was that a game winner?
I mean, yes.
Was it a 4-pointer? No. Get out of here. Rockets 140, Grizzlies 112 in Houston. No Jaren Jackson Jr., no Brandon Clark, no chance for the Grizzlies to keep up with the Rockets. Rockets finished the first quarter on a 21-3 run. It was never really close after that. Westbrook was great. 33 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. James Harden was great. 30 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, was 7 of 12 from 3. Even Austin Rivers had 23 points off the bench. Could have been a lot worse in this one too, Mo, because the Rockets turned over 18 times. They were sloppy, but they get their 5th straight win. Grizzlies lose their 4th straight game. They're only 2.5 games up on Portland. We know New Orleans is closing. We know Sacramento's closing. They couldn't get any stops in this one. Grizzlies gave up 55% from the field, 46% from 3. Dylan Brooks had 22 points, needed 26 shots to get it though. Ja Morant with 12 points and 9 assists. Valanciunas had 16 and 10 for the Grizzlies. Magic 130, Hawks 120 in Atlanta. Magic scored 80 points in the second and third quarters combined. They had guys taking turns just going off in various quarters. Evan Fournier, 28 points. 14 of those came in the fourth quarter. Aaron Gordon, 18 points in the third quarter. He had 25, 10, 6 assists and 3 blocks in this one. Vucevic had 17 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. Mo Bamba, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks off the bench. All 15 points in the second quarter. Trae Young tried what he could do. 20 points of his 37 came in the second quarter. Was 10 of 27 from the field, but just not enough. John Collins had 26 points and 7 rebounds. Cam Reddish had 14. Magic have won 4 of their last 5 games. Mavericks 109, Spurs 103 in San Antonio. No LaMarcus Aldridge for the Spurs. Usually that's a good thing, Mo, but it was a bad thing tonight. Luka Doncic hurt his thumb, had to go to the locker room after the first quarter. He got it taped up. He returned. Still had a triple-double. Whoa, this guy's ridiculous. 26 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, had 7 turnovers. He got a bum thumb. Like, what do you expect from him?
No, I mean, it was pretty interesting, and it was really bothering him. You could see him grabbing it constantly, you know, the whole game, basically, after he came back. But I mean, that's Luka right now, and that's a big thing for the Mavs, right? Your best player having a thumb injury. Luckily, it's not his shooting hand, but anytime he tries to dribble or make a move off of it, he's going to get smacked on it. It's going to suck for him.
Absolutely. Kristaps Porzingis with 28 points, 12 rebounds, went 4 of 8 from deep. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 17 points. For the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan, great game, 27 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Lonnie Walker IV had 12 points. Had 3 ridiculous blocks in this one. But the Mavs have won 4 of their last 5. Spurs have lost 7 last night. Let's just put the nail in the coffin on this one, Mo.
They're not going to go away. They're not going to go away, Zach. They're going to keep fighting.
They are done.
They might be. But if everybody just kind of stops paying attention, you know, they're going to kind of crawl back in and all of a sudden be close that last week.
Speaking of done, the Suns lost again. Clippers 102, Suns 92 in Phoenix. Clippers outscored the Suns 55-37 in the second and third quarters. That kind of decided this one, but it was an ugly one. Kawhi Leonard had 24 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Marcus Morris had 18 points for the Clippers. Reggie Jackson had 12 points off the bench. Paul George didn't do much in this game. 11 points, 4 assists, was 4 of 13 from the field. For the Suns, DeAndre Ayton, 25-17. He's been on a tear lately. Ricky Rubio had 18 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Did have 7 turnovers, though. Devin Booker didn't shoot well. 5 of 19 from the field to get 14 points, but did have 10 assists. But the Suns fall anyway. Mo, let's get to line of the night. We got some good ones. Caris LeVert had 34 points. Trae Young had 37-11. Russell Westbrook had a great game. Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum. Who gets your line of the night?
I'm going with Russell Westbrook, not just for tonight, but he's been phenomenal this whole run right now. So I'm giving him line of the night.
I'm going Tatum. This kid is unbelievable. Like, we gave him so much crap last year. He needs to get all the love this year. You know what? He bounced back. He did it. 33 points, 11 rebounds, went into Utah, beat them. That's not such a hard thing to do lately, but you still got to do it, right? High altitude and all that crap. You got to do it. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other shows. We've got Back to Back. We've got No Dunks, Tampering, Hoops Adjacent, House of Strauss. That's all on the Athletic Podcast Network. Click follow on the app to get notifications for the new episodes. You get all those and a whole lot more. Plus, you get all that writing. If you subscribe to the Athletic, you get all that writing. That's what you need to do. Thanks for waking up with us. Take your medicine. Get ready for this Thursday so you can kind of sleepwalk through Friday and get into the weekend. Mo, hit me with the sign-off.
Ding, ding.